Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with us today. My website is www.jbsba.com. If you want to ask a question or make a comment, a constructive one or a critical one, or you can even say something nice if you want. Here's the email address, askjim@jbsba.com. And when you get to my website, don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Jim Ballard is our guest and our good friend. He's the author of a number of books, including What's the Rush, including Mind Like Water. And as I said earlier, he's the guy who we call on often, very often for the last 5 years or so to help us gain and maintain some balance in our lives, including the way we work with others. He's our good friend, Jim Ballard. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Yeah, it's always a pleasure.
It's good to have you back. And today you want to talk about balanced leadership, don't you?
I do, yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, I spent a lot of time working and training and developing programs with Ken Blanchard, as well as writing books, because Ken is a leadership guy. He's a one-man manager. And so his particular take on leadership is usually referred to as situational leadership. And what that means is that it's a kind of leadership that allows you to change your style of influencing people according to the situation that you're in. You don't always have to be the same kind of boss. And you and I have talked before about the whole concept of flow, people working at their best, at optimal experience. How do you get people to do their best work? And leadership is a process of influencing people. It's when I define it, when I think about it, I always think that it's a matter of how do you get people to want to do what you want to have done, not just to make them do it or to pay them to do it, but to have them so interested in doing it that they're always contributing to it. Because what real leaders do and best managers do is not just get work done through others, but develop them in the process. So it's a matter of developing your people as they work. So how do you do that? That's what I mean by balanced leadership.
I want to come back to something you said before we go any further. I want to come back to something you said a minute ago, and I want to make sure I understood it. You said that you don't always have to be the same kind of boss. Did you say that?
Yeah, I did.
Tell us. Can you go into that just a little bit more? Because I think that might be
that might
be helpful.
There's at least two situations that people really dislike who come to work every day. One of them is that somebody assigns you some work and leaves you alone and doesn't show up again until you screw up. And Ken Blanchard usually refers to such folk as seagull management.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that,
yeah, I like
that
the way he says it.
They fly in, make a lot of noise, dump on everybody, and fly out. And and sometimes we call that the leave alone zap method too, which means that you leave people alone, unable to do the work or without sufficient management. And then you zap them when they don't do it right. The other situation that people hate is what we've come to call micromanaging, which means I can do the thing, just leave me alone to do it. But no, you stand around and you supervise and you show me. You're always on my case when I know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So those are two kinds of management, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
And or mismanagement. So you don't want to be the kind of boss who always leaves people alone or always is around to tell them how to do things. You have to look at the needs of the situation to know how to manage properly.
You're saying that sometimes people need you to be there and sometimes they don't, and you have to know when to come and when to stay and when to go.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it's really a matter of looking at the situation, looking, by that I mean looking at the follower, looking at the employee or the associate, and saying, you know, are they able to do this job, and to what extent do they want to do it? Are they interested in it? Because those are the two sides of is being able to do it and being willing to do it. And so being the kind of leader that makes people want to do the thing you want done is a little tricky. You're always, in a sense, a follower rather than a leader. You're following the situation. You're looking at what needs doing and then adjusting and changing yourself to meet those needs.
Right. Well, it seems to me you also have to, you know, when one of the things I think people would say about a good leader is someone who has confidence. And I agree with that, but to me there are two kinds of confidence. One is confidence in yourself, which is important to be a leader. Mm-hmm. But in my opinion, and I think this is what I'm hearing you say, is that you also have to have confidence in your people.
Absolutely.
And you have to give them that confidence, don't you?
That's what I want to talk about this morning, because I think that's really an interesting topic. We've in our training asked thousands of people. We've done an activity called Best Boss, which is simply to ask people, think of somebody who was your best coach, leader, boss, manager, leader. What did they do? What did they say that made you, have that opinion of them? They were the best influence, the best teacher that you ever had. And so I've listened to thousands of stories of that, and there's an interesting theme that shows up again and again and again.
Why?
Because we wanted them to focus not just on traits of people,
mm-hmm.
of personalities, but what did they actually do? What was the leadership behavior?
Mm-hmm.
And the theme is, the stories were over and over and over were about people who challenged me, people who thought I could do something that I didn't know I could do, and trusted me to do it, and in the process I grew and gained that confidence and developed myself. And whereas other people didn't seem to have that confidence or that trust in me, this person gave me a tough task to do and thought I could do it and was there to cheerlead me and to praise me when I did it.
Hey, Jim, and also, if you think back on your favorite teachers, they did that. I was thinking about my favorite teachers when you were saying that, and I remember they did. I also remember them being the toughest on me, too. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with our good friend Jim Ballard, the author of Mind Like Water. Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Jim Ballard is our guest. He's the author of Mind Like Water, Keeping Your Balance in a Chaotic World, and still one of my favorites, What's the Rush? Step out of the race, free your mind, and change your life. Jim, you got any new projects you want to tell us about?
Well, we're doing a sequel to the Whale Done book.
Yeah?
The book we did with the guys that trained the killer whales at SeaWorld.
Right.
So this one is on balance.
I still see that book on bookshelves.
Yeah,
that book's
around.
Really doing well, isn't it?
It is. It's going around the world pretty good, too.
Congratulations.
This is a follow-up to that book, and it's on balance, so it's called Whale Balanced. they do a lot of work with the killer whales to keep them in balance. And going back to what we were talking about before, I think the question, the follow-up question is, how do you assign work to people that's a little bit too hard for them? You know, because mm-hmm. in the study of the flow experience, they've found that challenge is one of the big things that keeps people coming to work, you know, and wanting to get better. It's having a tough team to play against and all. So when in the training that we would ask people, you know, we would draw a line across the board, horizontal line, and say, you know, at this end it's too easy, and at this end it's too hard. Where's the ideal place for folks to be working?
Mm-hmm.
And at first glance, you know, people would say right in the middle. But
right.
Then they think about it, and then they say, no, it's a little bit towards too hard.
Right.
And why is that? It's because people need to be growing as they're working. They need to be challenged. They need to be always developing.
They need to be pushing the envelope. And, you know, Jim, in my experience, I'd like to get your thoughts on this. In my experience, whenever there's a job to do that's a little too – whenever a boss has a job to do that's a little too hard for an employee, it's probably more of a problem with the boss turning loose of that, knowing that it might be a little too hard and fearing that it might not be done right, than it is for the employee to accept it and try it. What do you think?
That's right. That's right. People love challenge, and they love somebody who thinks that they can do something that they don't really know that they can do.
It makes them step up, doesn't it?
Going back to those best boss stories, that's, as I said, what we heard over and over and over again. This person, and they would tell the story, you know, the guy gave me this thing, and I thought, oh, I've never done anything like that, but I guess he thinks I can do it. I guess she thinks I can do it. Well, I'll try it. I'll do it for them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then those inspiring stories come out. So what you're talking about, the letting go, is really key, really important from the standpoint of the manager or the boss, isn't it? You know, it's letting go.
How do you set that up? Could you say something like, you know, we've got this project, and I'm not sure that it's something that you have done before, but I really kind of think you can do it. What do you think? Can you say it like that?
I think you say it your way, but in the back of your mind, the way, not so much the way you say it, but in the back of your mind, you've already let go of it. You're already most interested in giving this person something that's a little bit too hard, giving them a little bone to go for, you know, out in front, a little carrot, whatever you say, and you do it in such a way that you're going to let go of it when you walk away. You're not going to be there, you know, holding their hand. Ultimately, you're going to walk away and then you're going to come back and say how you're doing. You're going to support them along the way, but you've really delegated to them. You know, and you're trusting them to do it.
I'd like to throw another thing out here, Jim, and that's the timing. If you're a crisis manager, you're not going to be a very balanced leader because you're always going to be giving things that they've never done before when they don't have enough time to do it, even if they knew how to do it. And what I was going to say, Jim, is to me, if you're going to do what you're saying, Jim, which I think is an excellent way to think about management. You need to give them these projects a little bit early, so if they do mess up a little bit at first, you got time to go back and learn from the mistakes and to get the finished product out.
That's great. That sounds like just sort of setting it up so they won't fail.
That's right.
Whereas the other way is sort of giving it to them too late and with not enough time to turn around and go back if they hit the wall. Is a setup for failure.
And
you end up saying, you know, I knew you couldn't do it. You know,
well, or it's just implied. You know, it becomes, you know, something that's just implied, and they think that first. But you know, the one thing about employees, they have an instinct. I found about whether they've got enough time to do something or not. You know, a lot of times they know more about that than you do.
Yeah, because they're closer to the work. Yeah.
Absolutely. Got about 30 seconds,
you know,
Jim. Last thoughts.
I'm sorry?
I said we got about 30 seconds. Last thoughts.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I hope that what we've talked about this morning is interesting from the standpoint of the challenge to the boss. The challenge is challenging, you know, and that if you can sort of start thinking about the way you assign work in a new way, then we've done our work. And the new way we've talked about is to say, let's look at work from the standpoint of growing people up. What can I assign them and then support them in doing that I haven't trusted them to do before? It's a little bit too hard. And that means I can let go of it. Now, how can I work on myself toward being more of a delegating leader?
Jim Ballard, ladies and gentlemen. Well said, Jim. Thank you for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thank you, Jim.
We'll see you next time. Jim Ballard, ladies and gentlemen, the author of Mind Like Water. 29 After. Quick break. I'll be right back with Gene Greisman.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.